Hello, and welcome to First Collection. My name is Liz Braun, and I'm the Dean of Students. Tonight is an opportunity for us to learn more about the Swarthmore community values and our Quaker heritage. You will hear words of welcome and reflection from several members of the Swarthmore community, including President Rebecca Chopp, Aurora Camacho de Schmidt, Professor of Spanish, and Ian Perkins Taylor, Class of 13. The tradition of collection is decades old. According to Christopher Densmore, curator of Friends Historical Library, the annual catalog of 1870 to 1871 mentions a form of assembly at the end of each day for worship, at which readings from scripture were followed by a period of silence. Later catalog entries mention daily meetings for religious exercises and the imparting of moral lessons as circumstances seem to require. Over the course of time, these assemblies continued to occur on a regular basis, but evolved to include speakers, music, theater, and other types of programs. The other change involved the frequency of collections, which went from daily to the current tradition of a first collection for new students and a final collection for seniors. However, as part of our strategic planning conversations, many students and other community members have expressed interest in exploring having more regular collections as an opportunity to bring the entire community together. While the format and content of collection continues to evolve, this tradition lives on as a special opportunity to come together in community and celebrate Swarthmore's unique and distinctive heritage. It is now my pleasure to introduce our first speaker, President Rebecca Chopp. Thank you.
Class of 2016, welcome. I hope that many people have been welcoming you to your new home, to the incredible adventure ahead of you, and to this amazing community. And I am sure that you've gotten lots and lots of advice about courses, life in the dorm, studying, food, parties, wellness, Swarthmore speak, Philadelphia, the Bolt bus to New York, and other countless things. To their good wishes, I add my welcome. But I'm not going to give you any advice tonight. Because really, who in the world would remember the advice of a college president given at the end of an exhausting week? When I think back about my own college orientation program many, many years ago, I recall only two things. One, the incredibly cool upper-class woman who was my orientation guide, and my immediate, intense, and immense desire to be like she, and two, a fantastic faculty advisor who told me to take, really and truly, the toughest possible classes I could in the first year to acclimate myself. An effort at which I was considerably more successful than my attempts to be as cool as the upper-class woman. I have no memory of the college president speaking at my orientation, though I assume he must have done so. So I'm rather humbled to stand before you, especially when a really great student and an awesome faculty member follow me. But if you would like some advice sometime, please come by my office. What I want to do tonight is to take a few moments to invite you to join with me in my love for metaphor and for engaging with others in what I will call the adventure of metaphor at Swarthmore. I invite you tonight to inhabit intimately, rationally, intuitively, and emotionally metaphor making during your 4 years with us at Swarthmore. To use a metaphor, I invite you to become a wizard or a whiz at metaphor. Metaphor has a proud history at Swarthmore. The college traces its roots, that's a really great metaphor, back to the Hicksite Friends. The Hicksite Society of Friends believed that the light of truth, they termed it God, is in every person. Because of their faith that everyone carries the light within them, the goodness of truth or God, the Hicksite Friends believed that everyone deserves great respect. And by logical and practical extension, everyone must be listened to deeply. Since the illumination of truth will come from the light within other persons, as well as from the light within one's own heart and soul. Today we understand that the more diverse a community is, the closer one can come to understanding truth, true reality. Only through listening deeply is truth respected and connected within this community. A metaphor begins with the same listening deeply. To accept my invitation tonight is to begin to practice deep listening, opening oneself to another's experience, listening for the difference that is there, that beckons, that invites, that confronts, that may even offend. Becoming an artist at creating metaphor is one way to engage diversity and thus to find the pathways to truth within this inclusive community. Now, needless to say, I love metaphor. Indeed, collecting and thinking about metaphors is a hobby for me. I love to sit around and think about very traditional metaphors. I love Shakespeare, life's a stage. I like to remember the metaphors I grew up with, the metaphors that my father would say. Time is money, he would say. I've also come to love the Swarthmore specific metaphors, such as misery poker, to describe a favorite pastime among Swarthmore students who compare with each other their monumental workloads. I'll see you two seminar papers and raise you one lab report and a dance performance. I also love new metaphors. I love to watch new metaphors made on the stage of history. So in recent years, one of the newest metaphors that people love is the black swan. It describes outlier events, such as 9/11, that change history in an unpredictable and irrevocable fashion. Yes, I can stay up at night and worry about metaphors. Right now, I'm worrying a lot about metaphors I heard last night in the current presidential race. I have spent much of my academic career studying metaphors and thinking about how they really work. So really, a metaphor is a kind of surprise, an insight, a wow, a wonder. It's a moment where all of a sudden you see something revealed in a new way that you just haven't seen revealed quite like that before. Munro Beardsley, a philosopher of aesthetics, argued that a metaphor is a poem in miniature. Metaphors make sense, but not literally so. You might even say that a metaphor is an intentional creative mistake. The philosopher Gilbert Ryle called it a category mistake. And my teacher, Paul Ricoeur, described it as a calculated error. Or one could say that with Richard Schiff, that a metaphor is a kind of leap, a leap in meaning and understanding. It's really interesting, too. The only way to talk about metaphors is to speak metaphorically. According to one of my very favorite American thinkers, philosopher Kenneth Burke, who I do hope you will read and study, a metaphor is, and I quote, a device for seeing something in terms of something else. It brings out the thisness of a that, or the thatness of a this. Kind of sounds like Dr. Seuss, who, of course, was a genius at metaphors. Linguistic philosopher Max Black is a bit more exact. And I quote, it would be more illuminating to say that metaphor creates the similarity than to say that it formulates similarity antecedently existing. So to say the world is really a stage, it creates the meaning. There's nothing back there that means it really is a stage. Time really isn't money. But in making the metaphor, that similarity is created, and one catches for just a moment a truth that's suddenly revealed. Metaphor is about creation. It's creating, pretending, performing some similarity that all of a sudden you imagine between two different objects. It's performance art. It's not about cementing sameness. It's not about engaging in cultural reductivity. There is no technical formula for creating metaphors. Making a metaphor is an art and a little bit of a science. Whatever characteristics help define your sense of who you are, to make a metaphor, you must begin by listening deeply. We are each made up of unique and complex combinations of the interwoven elements of our identities. For example, if you are from New York City, you shouldn't assume that you know the experience of another student based on the fact that she or he is from rural North Dakota. In addition to being from North Dakota, that student might also identify as LGBT, Jewish, multiracial, a first-generation college student, and an only child. All of these characteristics shape who that person is, and it will take time and deep listening for all this to be revealed to you. You can't assume you know someone from the high school they attended or even the pictures they've posted on Facebook. In addition to listening to others, and at all cost avoiding such assumptions, we should listen deeply to the wide variety of ways we experience our own identities. As the Quakers believed, the more we listen to ourselves, the more we know ourselves, the more we will be able to listen to and truly hear another person's experience. One final component about being a whiz at metaphor in this community, one I think that our Hicksite founders would very much want mentioned, is that a true wizard at metaphor is always humble. For metaphors can be very problematic, even dangerous, if they are taken literally. Metaphors to be good or to be gold must garner respect for how they reveal what is not literally true, even as they reveal new meaning. Never ever think you can fully understand the full extent of difference between you and another person. A metaphor, remember, is a poem, a category mistake, a leap, a calculation of new meaning. To learn and to wonder requires the humility of always listening for more, remaining open to being confronted by more difference, always taking another leap. There are limits to understanding one another perfectly, yet the opportunities to continue trying are boundless, and the resulting richness to be shared is priceless. So to live in metaphor, I invite you to do so, is to live humbly and, I think, with integrity. Type of life that our founders would very much want you, our students, to lead. To be a whiz at metaphor is to learn to live the wonder that can illuminate us, if only for a minute. To experience another human being and still always know that he or she or they are, will, and should remain different from ourselves. So I invite you, over the next 4 years, to be a wizard, a whiz at metaphor. Listening, learning, creating, respecting, being illumined and living in this wonder of difference and inclusivity. Or to say it metaphorically, doing so, living this way, may well be your greatest adventure, your wildest ride, the most precious jewel you discover in your time here with us. Welcome, class of 2016.